This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There was a moment I didn't know if we were going to make it today on Saturday when I got the call that you had trouble with your van.
It's just the heater.
I know, but at one point I was like,
"You've just been bundled up, running down the road with blankets.
You crazy bastards." These dudes are literally going down the road at no heater. They couldn't switch anything out. We're trying to find them a way to get it fixed. And we got it handled for today, though.
Yeah, it's real cold. And I'm a little shriveled up today.
Yeah.
Well, today's the warm day.
At least they're calling for a weather thing to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, good times, my friend.
Yeah.
Life on the road. Times. You are. So, Tommy, how are you? Man?
Canadian Tom.
How'd you? Oh, it's okay.
Doing the best I can.
Right, right. That's it. And Kyle. Hey, man.
What's up, dude?
Kyle's already pulled his nipples out, and
I
know. Well, listen, we just met. Give us a second, right?
I just wanted to show you how cold it was in the van.
That's right. That's right. And he is a hairsuit and fella. I mean, he is.
Some things get bigger, some get smaller.
Yeah, that's right. This is that.
Some things stay small, but
yeah. You are. So, by the way, how did all you guys meet? So, because Tim, you're a solo artist.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to have a band. You got to put it together. So where'd you find these guys, these pirates?
Tom, I found on Instagram years ago. He was shredding a Brad Paisley solo. I'm like, who is this nerd? And he was like geotagged in my neighborhood. So he lives.
Really?
He was like gritted, and I was like, who is this goofball Canadian guy shredding some Brad Paisley? And I said, come over for an audition. And he's like a block down the road. And by God, he showed up. And then Kyle, we found you on Broadway, I think, right?
It was in Charlotte.
That's right. No, it was in Charlotte.
In the Carolinas.
He played in this opening cover band, and I look up and I see a dude eating a sandwich while playing the drums. And he doesn't miss a beat. He does not miss a beat. And I'm like, that is the most reckless, cool thing I have ever seen. And I was like, we got to talk to Sandwich Man.
So were you playing, and then you'd set it down, and then an offbeat, you'd pick it up, bite it, and then go back again? Or it was actually in your...
He's holding it and drumming.
Fantastic.
That's why we're like staring in awe, and we had to hire him.
That's fantastic.
If you can eat a foot long while, you know, crushing some four on the floor and some drums, you're in the band. You're hired.
The only thing I got better, or even similar, is I saw a it was a terrible strip club. Actually, it might have been somewhere in Montana, but the girl was crying and eating one of those little tiny bags of the extra small bags of chips, the ones that aren't even like a real bag of chips, like the ones they put in children's lunches, and she was sobbing, going back and forth, but she was stripping at the same time eating Lay's potato chips.
That is some Montana stuff right there.
But I will tell you this, the best looking, you can ask A-Hole Bob, the program director, this is again random, best looking girl we have ever seen in a strip club was in Montana, just outside of
Bozeman.
Yes.
Teasers.
Is that about 70 miles outside?
Yes.
It's at an intersection.
So check this out.
Yes. We walked in and went
right off I-90.
Yes.
There's a cinnamon roll place called Great Harvest. There's a trailer
shop. He knows.
And a strip club. I have so many teasers. I've almost been divorced there twice.
You pull Bob up. Because this has become legend with us. Nobody understands. Hottest girl we've ever seen in our life.
Yeah, they have some pretty good talent there. But listen to this. One day we're like, we've never got a cinnamon roll lap dance in a trailer. And my brother's with us, who's hungover and has a lot of money. And he goes, I'd like to buy a trailer so I can complete the trifecta. Yeah,
stay there, Bob. So Tim has been to the strip club where we saw the greatest peeler in the history of our trips.
You know what? That does not surprise me at all. But, I mean, yes, the greatest, yeah, the most talented stripper in the world. And I lived in Las Vegas for 3 years. The best stripper in the world is in that club in Bozeman. We didn't want to leave. Yes.
When we were there, there was a restaurant attached to it.
Yes, there is. You get a burger and a fur burger.
and they had a mattress room in the back. It wasn't even a VIP. It was you could go lay on a mattress with the girl. I was like... But we were all sitting there, and Bob is notorious for having no fun on the road. Like, we'll go on motorcycle trips, and there's so many miles you have to get.
Right.
And if we stop too long, it screws his schedule up, and he starts making the Bob face. And even Bob was like, we were there for 2.5 hours, both just staring at this girl. She was as thoroughbred a peeler as we've ever seen in our lives.
Wow.
She was amazing. To the point where...
That place is a national treasure in the middle of nowhere. It's a discovery. It's like stumbling upon Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
You know, so,
Countless memories. In my Death Row music video, I hired one of the girls from Teasers.
Dude.
And she shows up, and I've never seen her before. And at lunch, she goes, it's really good to work with you again. And every one of the producers from the music video stares at me. And I'm like, well, you have to tell now. And she's like, you were in maybe 4 years ago with a guy, maybe your brother. And I'm like, oh, that checks out. And she's like, you got a lap dance, but you didn't want to go. You were such a gentleman.
Oh,
and I'm like, yeah, because lap dances there are like similar to like a prostate exam. You're like, Jesus, please stop.
Yes, man. But the odds of you are the only – I've told that story 20 times over the years about in the middle of the most random place, intersection, stopped for gas, got some lunch, just happened to walk in, and we were trapped for 2.5 hours before we made it into Bozeman.
It's a great place. It really is.
Amazing. We were supposed to be friends.
I'll send you some pictures.
So good.
It's the Mount Busmore of strip clubs.
It really is, man. So you guys, you've been out touring, and people don't know this. I didn't know this. Well, we talked the other day. You missed the first part, and we ended up moving it for one more day. This interview we were supposed to
Chuck's
have.
Chuck's fault.
It's always Chuck's fault. Chuck's in the other room. Chuck showed up here. Chuck's to blame for everything.
That's why the FBI's outside.
That's why we lost the Super Bowl yesterday. It's everything about it. It's a Chuck. Chuck is the problem with it.
When something goes wrong and you have bad luck, your van is broke down. Next time, fall down your stuff. Your poor life choices, they have a run amok. Just do what we do and start blaming Chuck.
Chuck from Loudwire. He pretends to be a man of the Lord, but he's of the devil. I know he is. You can blame everything on him. The Super Bowl, the loss, everything. Your sprinter van. Like you said last night, you had more problems.
Yeah, the headlight went out, yeah.
Chuck.
He must have been in the driveway in Lawrence.
I didn't know. The point I wanted to make was you are your own driver. Nobody does that. Not now. Not in these days and age. You know, when you're the artist, you know, that's how guys don't make money, right?
Right.
Like, they don't realize how the game works. The record company, it's just a loan.
Right.
Everything you do, everything that they say, every lunch you eat, every dinner you go to is always charged back to you.
Oh, yeah.
And if you've got a family and you guys want to make money, you have to do it yourself. It's you literally play the show, get off the stage, meet and greet, do your merch, and then you do the overnights.
Yes, and these guys can tell you that it's a little bizarre how much I drive. When I listen to audiobooks... I'm just listening to the Old West right now. I'm going to have a PhD in, like, Old Western gunfighting.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm ready, dude.
Side note, Abernathy Boys. Have you heard about them?
Uh-uh.
Dude, wait till I tell you this story. Now we'll have to do some other. We're going to talk about you. But you have to remind me to tell you. I just discovered them from Oklahoma. They were 5 and 9 years old and rode horses to Santa Fe, New Mexico to meet Teddy Roosevelt. Turns out the whole thing is true. They became a national phenomenon, these two little boys. And their dad was like, all right, you could do it. All by themselves, New York City from Oklahoma, then back again.
Wow.
It was there's a movie about it, but they're the most interesting, weird little guys from 1910.
Wow.
1912. Literally on horseback, then they bought a 1912 Indian motorcycle two-seater. The back seat had handlebars on it, and the little dude would sit in the back, and they made the run from New York back to Oklahoma by themselves on gravel roads all the way there.
I know. Tom, Canadian Tom, you're blowing his mind right now. He's into that stuff.
Either that or Tom's like, you're lying.
I can't believe it.
No, it's honestly, we'll just go all over the place, but there's an audio book for you.
Wow. So check that out.
So you grew up in the middle of Montana, off the grid in a little single wide.
Yeah.
Like that's
about an hour from Teasers.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? But you know, at that stage, you think, man, where do songs come from? Where does life come from? Like, how does it all? Because you don't, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there is, but not as we know it. We're, you know, you're not bombarded with everything. This is pre-social media, right? Like, this is pre-internet. This is, you're really growing up inside your own head.
Yes, lanterns, candles. That's a real story. We had an outhouse. I'm glad to say I haven't had to dig an outhouse hole in about 20 years.
Super nice. Nick actually has an outhouse at her lake house.
Yeah?
We keep it just in case.
Is it a hole dog?
Not dig it. Some other poor bastard in the 1960s did.
Digging outhouse holes in the Rocky Mountains? Oh, my God.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Terrible.
So why were you so far off the grid? What was the reason for that with your parents? Like, why did they have you out there?
I think it was some, like, scared of the government stuff. There was a lot of malicious stuff going on at the time.
Yeah, that whole area, Montana, Idaho, all that.
I met some people in the woods when I was a kid. I was like, oh, my God, that's what a rocket launcher looks like in a school bus underground. That's
hey,
neat.
That's real.
My mom would always be like, don't tell people at school about that RPG, Timmy. I saw some things, and I played Fairbanks, Alaska a couple years ago, and there was another family. Now, they were like religious zealots, right? So they lived off-grid, super religious. And he's like, yeah, sorry I stopped playing with you after I was 12. When my dad saw Randy Weaver hanging out with your stepdad, we figured we wouldn't come up there anymore. And I was like, oh, that happened.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Randy Weaver from
the Siege at Ruby Ridge.
Yeah, Ruby Ridge. Yeah, that's what I was trying
like
to remember.
Some bizarre, like the mountains of Montana in the 90s were lit.
Yeah. So how do you make this jump? Like, I mean, where does even music come from? Your dad introduced you to it? Your mom introduced you to it? Was there a radio station?
I started living above an antique store in the Flathead Valley, Kalispell. It's a whole story. I got returned. My biological father kidnapped me. They got me back. And my mom had a new boyfriend that was a militia guy. And she said, okay, Timmy, we're going off the grid. So you're losing your Nintendo. And they took me off into the mountains and gave me a little nylon string guitar. And that was it. No TV, no nothing. And so I have, like, from till 5 or 6 years old, I had power. And I lived in this little apartment above this antique store. And I would play, like, Mario Brothers.
Because your dad had kidnapped you.
Yeah, my dad kidnapped me.
And your mom finally found you.
Yes.
Okay.
And my dad went to prison, and that was the last time I saw him. And now he died when I was 15. But I've done all this ancestry stuff, and I found a bunch of family in Kansas City.
Get out of here. Perfect.
My ancestry.com is lit because my dad is a traveling musician that had 19 kids and he liked to kidnap him and stuff. He's a really, it sounds like he's a really good guy.
But he obviously he wanted you. Was he a bad guy to you, or was he?
He wasn't bad to me. He took me to Spokane, locked me up, and slid some pizzas under the door. I don't remember a lot.
Is that real?
Like, yeah, it's a real story. Yeah.
So he was a bad guy.
Well, he took me fishing. I remember I had a little Mickey Mouse fishing pole. But I remember the cops.
I remember the
cops raiding the house. That was neat.
So your mom had left him. So ultimately, the crazy, what you would normally in society think the crazy bastards are the ones that saved you.
Right.
Like the ones that came and got you and took you off grid. Because I was expecting the story to go the other way, right?
Right.
But it turns out that was the gift.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and then, he put the guitar in your hand.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. He was not a great guy either. Mom knows how to pick him.
They tend to
get a pattern. Me and mom
could
take a punch, I'll tell you what.
Oh, my God. You might be related.
Dude, if you're just doing a show, Tim Montana, which, by the way, the show is tomorrow night, Miles Kennedy up in Liberty Hall. You guys are opening the show. You guys, have you known Miles a long time?
No, but he's a sweet guy, man. Spokane guy.
Yeah,
and I told him, I'm like, dude, I used to live in Spokane. I mean, it was against my will, but...
Yeah.
was a prisoner there.
Dude, that whole area, man, that just, I mean, we have gone through that. A-hole Bob was just on the phone. Who let you in? The big beard guy. Looks like he ate Kenny Loggins.
Oh, I know Bob, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Looks like he ate Kenny Loggins.
We've ripped all through Idaho, all those back highways, all those scenic highways, all through Washington, all the way to Walla Walla, where that big prison is. Yeah. I remember we stayed outside at some hotel out there one time, but we've ridden all that area because it's so beautiful and so remote. But yeah, we have met some interesting characters over the years. And their opinions are very direct.
Yeah.
Like, you could be a damn cold ass stranger in a restaurant, but by the end, you know exactly how they feel about wolves, about people, about immigration, the government.
They don't mince words in Montana. I always tell them, like, not a place to fight or argue. Just, you know, they're really good at bar fighting and bar sports. And
yes. Yeah, and when Wyoming starts to look like a super open-minded state.
Right.
Dude, we almost got smoked in Wamsutter, Wyoming by just being the only three new guys in a bar.
Yeah.
It was a big oil worker bar. Yeah. And there's three fugly-looking girls in there, just awful, like cockeyed, like terrible, missing a, you know, awful, bald spot. But they decided they're going to between them. And they were like... And then they wanted to talk to us. But you could see every dude in the world is already now, they're just IFing us.
Yeah,
and I'm like, hey man, stop talking to these crazy girls. Yeah, stop talking to them right now. Like,
yeah, in Montana, you don't lose your woman, you lose your turn.
that's exactly what I was thinking, man. But how do you make that jump though? How do you start writing songs? Like, it all comes from like, what were you given musically? Like, what would they let you listen to? What did they have? Because you're limited, right?
Yeah, because we had the like pawn shop, my mom would always bring home these CDs that wouldn't sell. But my mom was also like crazy religious, and she accidentally gave me Tool undertow when I was like 7.
What, random?
And I remember I had batteries in this little CD player, and I'd sit there and listen to it. And there's a hidden track on that record at the end that terrified me. Because it's like Maynard, like, and the Lord came upon us, and there's sheep and stuff going on. Yeah. In the background, it's this bizarro hidden track. And then my mom would hear me listening to this, and then I'd get in trouble for it. And I'm like, you gave me this.
Right.
And she gave me all these Guns N' Roses, and I remember there was that diss track they did about get in the ring, and I'll kick your little butt. And she caught me listening to that, and I got in trouble for that. So she gave me the music, all this crazy rock stuff that wouldn't sell in the pawn shop, and then I'd go learn it on my guitar.
Yeah.
And at that time, there's no phones, there's no TV. I wasn't really allowed to have friends over, so I was very much a loner. So I would sit there, and when I'd go, I did a lot of aggressive chores at a young age, like splitting a couple cords of firewood and building a fence. And the stepdad was not a good guy. He would just torture me all day of like, oh, you got that job done, let's go build another jackleg fence.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, by the way, I'm 7.
Yeah. Those guys, they don't know how to parent. They don't know how to connect you emotionally. So they're like, somehow they think by keeping you busy, that's parenting.
Right. So I'd sit out there and talk to myself, and I probably was like, looked like a weirdo when I was a little kid, but I didn't have friends. So the talking to myself ended up being songwriting. I'd be like, I want to kill my stepdad with an axe.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. It's probably Chuck's fault. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right? And you, by the way, the Tool record, what a crazy thing to give a kid, especially.
Yeah, my Catholic mother.
Because lyrically, it doesn't even make sense. You're like, I have no idea what this is about. Like, you know,
this
Maynard
is necessary.
Yeah, yeah. So, but then you drift into that country world. But yeah. that had to also enter your head.
Yeah, it's kind of a geographically country thing. I grew up so entrenched in rock and, you know, having those CDs as a kid. But I also had the Marlboro Country tape that my mom smoked like 12 cartons of Marlboros to get mail. And so at some point, my earliest memories are singing Axl Rose into a spoon and then hearing this Marlboro Country tape that had like Charlie Daniels and Ronnie Millsap.
Yeah.
And liking that stuff.
Sure.
And so there's
because they were stories, right?
Yeah.
They told stories. That's what made all those musicians so great. When you're a little guy, you can literally follow. I remember getting truly weepy. This sounds crazy, but listening to Kenny Rogers, Coward of the County. When he blocked the
that's
doors.
That's a great one.
I mean, I would get emotionally tore up about that.
Yeah.
And I mean, but those are the best, man.
Yeah. So it was kind of a mix of all that music when I was a kid and just nothing but time on my hands to listen to that stuff. And then, you know, got out of there. I had to get the hell out of that situation. I moved out when I was 17. And then I became like Van Wilder. I moved into a college house. We were making fake IDs and hacking satellite cars.
Yeah, right. Sure.
I came into my, like, I caught up with years of not being able to be a kid. I think I'm still a kid today because I wasn't allowed to be a kid when I was a child.
Nothing runs like a dog on a rope.
Right.
Like, I mean, dude, the second that rope comes off, like, poof, you're gone. You're gone, and you don't ever stop, man.
Yep.
That's listen, if you're joining the show, Tim Montana, and we've got time this morning, right?
Yeah.
Going to hang out?
We'll stay all day.
All right. Tommy, Kyle, everybody's going to hang, man. Let me take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to play some music. We're going to talk about the show. We'll talk about the album Savage. Everything you've been through. We'll talk about Billy Gibbons. We'll talk about meeting David Letterman, David Grohl, all these guys along the way, Kid Rock, you know, how it's happened
Charlie
for you.
Sheen.
And Chuck.
And Chuck.
What's wrong with you? Look at him. He's just, he comes off so pure, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's hiding something behind those dead cold eyes.
Goddamn, 5-album, 20-year overnight sensation.
I think it's 7 albums.
Seven albums?
Yeah.
Good night. Hold on, what have I got? I was singing Iron Horse, American Thread, Reno, Long Shot, Savage.
There's more.
Oh, God dang, man. That's just crazy. I mean, because you left, you went out to L.A. in 2003.
Yes. It was a menace to society.
And what a switch it was. So you moved, you left where you were, you grew up in this off the grid, single wide, you went to school, you moved over to, where'd you go, Butte, Bozeman?
Yeah, Butte.
And how long did that last?
I lived in Butte from the time I was like 12 till I was 18.
Okay, so that's where the introduction came to the more modern world.
Yes.
And but then one day you decided, hey, I got to go. I got to go out to L.A.
Yeah, so I left. It was either military or music, and my mom was so excited because I was trying to sign up when I was 17. I'd sneak recruiters to the house. I'd be like, Mom, I have a friend here for dinner. She'd be like, I'm going to kill you.
Because they were already not trusting of the government. Yeah. Right? Like, that was the whole thing. Like
Militia Mary.
Right? Yeah. Hey, man, I've known some fellas like that. We go, whew. I mean, they really did bury school buses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a real thing out there. And but then, how upset was she then when you just jumped into the heart of being religious and being so anti-social in that way, to jump in the middle of Los Angeles? I mean, that's...
She loved it. When I got my acceptance papers for music school, she knew that I wasn't signing up for the military. So she's like, please go to music school. Because this is 2003 when stuff was getting wild.
Right.
And so I ended up going to L.A. And it was funny. I had some roommates there. I'd never owned a microwave at that point. So I would put stuff in the microwave and be like, wow. And one of my first roommates is like, dude, are you a caveman? Because I had forks in there and lightning was coming off it. I put CDs in the microwave. I never had a dryer or a microwave because they take too much power. You can't run it off a generator.
Okay.
So yeah, microwaves still to this day, like when my daughter would ask or my wife would ask me to heat up a bottle for my daughter, I'd always put it in for like, you know, 4.5 minutes. And then it would just be like molten plastic. And she's like, just like, don't touch microwaves, please.
So that's what a huge change that is.
All this witchcraft you guys have in the modern world. Right? I'm like, Jesus.
So how do you end up, you start to catch on, but it's interesting people that noticed you, like a David Letterman.
Yeah.
So how does David come, how do you guys connect?
So I've done my career backwards. I've like checked all these odd boxes before I had decent music.
Right.
But like I announced this Tim Montana world tour in like 2007, which consisted of Livingston, Montana, Shoto, Montana, and Butte. Everybody's like, hey, bud, that's not a world tour. I'm like, it is to me, pal. So we show up in Shoto, and here comes Dave Letterman. He has a ranch there.
That's right. He does. That's right.
And I have a funny story you guys are going to die about. My mom was there, and my daughter, Savannah, who's going to be 17, geez, was probably a year old or something. And my mom starts talking to Dave. She's like, Timmy grew up off the grid, and he's fascinated. He's like, wow, this and that. And I always laugh because people are like, oh, you guys must have been like going green, saving the earth. I'm like, no, it's called poverty. We're pretty poor.
That's right. Yeah.
But he introduces his fiance to my mother. And I about had a heart attack because he goes, Mary, this is Regina. And she goes, Vagina? And he goes, Regina. And she goes, Vagina? And I'm like, oh, my God. And I thought, like, Dave was going to kill us because he's sitting there like, what is this crazy lady saying?
And is she busting balls on purpose?
No, my mom's just goofy, man. She's high on the Holy Spirit and goofballs all the time.
Got it.
And so then Dave pulls out a giant wad of cash and goes, how much merch will this buy me? And I was like, all of it. And so we gave Dave all these shirts. And he goes, tough crowd tonight, Asian tourists. And I'm like, what? We're in a ranch community in Shoto.
Right.
And I said, I hope to see you on the show someday. And he goes, man, I hope so. So like 2 months pass. I'm back in Nashville. And of all places, Guitar Center Nashville, where all the guys glare at each other. Who's cooler? They're shredding the guitar. It's a scary place to walk into because everybody can shred in Nashville.
Right.
And I get a call from a New York number, and I'll never forget it. This is Cheryl Zelickson. I'm the booking agent for The Late Show with David Letterman at the Ed Sullivan Theater. Dave wants you to be his personal guest on the late show. So I'm walking through, middle finger in the air, like, watch me ride. We were broke at the time. My wife and I went and maxed out our Orchard Bank low credit card because we were so convinced we were going to be millionaires the next day.
Of course, and David Letterman.
By God, we weren't. So I did, but I had these great moments that, like, popped the balloon in the air for me, right? Like, yeah. That yeah. gave me a taste of something. If that wouldn't have happened, I don't know that I would have stayed in the game this long. I'm not sure. Maybe I would have.
It is. It's a big thing, but it is little wins. Like, yeah. You go, okay, no, I'm not crazy. This will happen.
Yeah.
If this happened, why not me?
Right. And then I'm a very good networker. I have the gift of gab, so I became buddies with Paul Schaefer from the show.
Okay.
So then I said, Paul, I want you on my next record. So then I got Paul and Steve Cropper, because I'm a huge Blues Brothers fan. I got those two on a track for my next record. That record kind of flopped, and I just kept moving on and meeting these different people along the way, and then Kid Rock showed up, and then Dave Grohl showed up, and they popped the balloon in the air. You know, anytime I'd start being like, oh, man, I don't know if this is going to work out, and then that's the course of 18 years.
But listen, you know, all those guys, Grohl, like, you know, God bless him. I don't care if somebody likes the Foo Fighters or not. When you look at his body of work, you look at what he's done and who he loves as well. Like, side note, like Probot with Lemmy.
Yeah.
You know, he's as good as it gets.
Right.
And so when he shows you interest, not to mention a cultural icon.
Right.
But what a gift that is.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And you're so far outside of his genre. Like, if that guy puts the finger on you for his people, like, there's a credibility there. Right.
Right.
And now let's get to the other side. Charlie Sheen.
Finger on you?
Yeah. How does that come in? How does that tiger blood?
That's a wild one. And he ultimately helped me get my first major record contract.
The best.
And
that's the
everyone's
best.
Like, always asked me, like, how'd you do it in the music business? I'm like, buddy, I have the weirdest trail ever.
Yeah.
Like, it just happened, right? And so Rob O'Neill's a Navy SEAL Team 6 guy.
Okay.
His brother's a DJ in Montana. And Chuck's company, I think, owns that station. 95.5 KMBR in Butte, Montana. So
okay.
He was the first guy to play my little demos on the radio when I was 18. And I go into his studio and there's pictures of this guy in camo on the wall. And I'm fascinated with military stuff. I'm like, what's your brother do? He's like, he's a SEAL. And I'm like, what team? He goes, I don't know, but he's based on the East Coast. And I'm like, SEAL Team 6.
By the way, you know, Richard Marcinko was a dear friend.
Oh, wow.
From you know, commander of SEAL Team 6.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Red Cell. I mean, oh.
Yeah.
So God bless his soul, man. He left us a few years back. But side note, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
So Rob gets out of the military, and I send Rob music while he's deployed. I send him this song called Freedom's Never Free and write him a letter while he's in Afghanistan. He gets out. He's the dude on the Bin Laden raid, Red Squadron.
That's
and,
right.
And, yeah, so he comes out with this crazy story, and he's like, hey, thanks for being so cool to my brother. Thanks for sending me letters before you knew who I was. And so he meets Charlie Sheen because – Rob joined the Navy because a lot of guys that era watched the movie Navy SEALs with
That's
Hawkins.
Right. And O'Neill, when you go back to his book,
yeah,
it talks about how the fact he couldn't swim.
Yep.
And joined the Navy, which is crazy, but he grew up in the middle of nowhere. Was it Wyoming?
Montana.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, man, that you're right. Crazy connections.
Yeah. So he meets Charlie Sheen because the movie Navy SEALs, Charlie wants to meet this guy from the Bin Laden raid. And then they become buddies, and he tells them about my music. So I wake up to a tweet that says, Tim Montana's music is genius. And I'm like, no way. So I fly to L.A., go meet Charlie, pick up Billy Gibbons, bring him. That is a whole story within itself. I'll tell you off air of the day with Billy and Charlie.
Yeah, God can only imagine.
That's a chapter in my book. There's smoked salmon and some other weird things.
Oh, dude. It's just, yeah, because you know, Charlie, listen, I don't care what anybody says. Until it all goes bad, right, that's a good party.
Yes.
Like, that dude's on fire. He's happy. He's a pretty outgoing guy. Like, everything's, you know, it's definitely not a healthy way to live.
Well, he's been sober 8 years now.
Yeah.
So it's incredible. He got custody of all of his kids. And, of course, the media doesn't talk about that
because
they only want the bad news.
That's right. No, if it bleeds, it leads. Otherwise, it's no longer good anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to know the good story. We only want to know the stuff we're supposed to be shocked by.
Right. So I play him a song called Mostly Stoned. It was a demo at the time. And I said, you should direct this. And he's like, I'm not really a director. He goes, but I'm in. So he writes the script, which is bizarro. And I told him, I said, when I grew up without power, I had two VHS tapes. I had Rambo, First Blood, and Navy SEALs. So he surprises me and brings the car from the movie Navy SEALs for me to shoot in.
That's great.
And I surprise him and almost roll it over on top of myself in a ditch. We almost died in the actual Navy SEALs car. And Rob O'Neill was watching. And I'm like, man, that was sketch because I tried to bail out as the car almost flipped over on top of me, and it's a convertible, and it was a concrete.
That's how you get smoked, yeah.
And I said to Rob, and Rob's not a guy to take death lightly. I'm like, yeah, that could have been dangerous. He's like, oh, you almost died. He's like, I just watched that. You almost died. You were very lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
So video comes out, goes bonkers on YouTube, goes viral, and BMG Records calls, who had already, or BBR, that got acquired by BMG, who had already passed on me twice over the last decade. And they're like, hey, we want to give you a record contract. And I'm like, damn, Charlie Sheen.
Right? So how does that go for you? Because, you know, you're still new. Even though you've been in the business a while, do you know to be careful with a record company? Because, you know, that's a... Well, you know, we can talk about it all day. There's a million good stories, but a lot of terrible stories about artists who really want to be signed, and that first deal is not in your favor, right?
Yeah. I'd been around long enough to be aware of some of the tricks, and so they gave me a good contract over there and have been really supportive, and, you know, they're the ones that helped blow up Devil You Know, and, yeah, so they've been great.
By the way, and the album is, you know, it's fun to go through. I was doing it the other day, just finding a new stuff. We were talking about oh, God damn it, the other song that was left. Where's everything, my friend? Yeah, sorry. Get You Some.
Yeah.
Yeah, but lyrically, as soon as I heard Get You Some, I was like, yeah, that's our song.
Right.
Like, that's every kid's song from every town, from every kid who got pushed down, every kid who got told he was trash.
Four wide trash and, from a single wide.
For real. Like, you hear it, and you go, yeah, man. You think about that, that is at least 60% of the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Four kids deep buying five-star dinners might be a slight embellishment.
But as you start turning those things out, man, your first rock record.
Yeah.
Like, how easy? Does it come easy or no?
That one actually did, because I, like, banged my head off the wall so many times in Nashville writing country stuff. And they're like, you're too edgy. You're too loud. You can't cuss. What are you talking about? You can't say all this dark stuff. So, you know, I had some cuts. Kid Rock recorded a couple of my songs. Travis Tritt, Michael Ray. So I had some okay successes as a songwriter.
And that'll put some money in your pocket.
Yeah, a little bit. But, writing the rock stuff was easy because I was like, there's no rules. And I know how to write this because I grew up listening to this stuff. And I live that, you know, crazy childhood. I've got just tons of stuff to draw from. So,
and it's funny because I watched Blackberry Smoke go through the same thing.
Yeah.
Two country for rock, two rock for country. And in the end, of course, they win.
Right.
You know, but it was a hard fight. I remember watching those guys and feeling bad because, you know, every artist knew they were great. Every artist knew they could write songs. Everybody knew they could play. But the industry couldn't place them underneath a genre, and so it really was hard for them.
Yeah. And there's not a lane. If you're, like, in between lanes, it's tougher.
You know?
You got to find some weird viral magic to make it happen.
But if you stay there,
yeah,
and you do make it happen, that's where the length comes in.
Yep.
Like, that's why people love you, man. That's why you're out. That's why you're opening for Miles Kennedy tomorrow night in Lawrence.
Yeah.
And it's why you're going to tour for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? Like, but I mean, that's where you're going to live, right? You're going to live live. You're going to live where people can see you play. You're a songwriter. You're a performer. You're not a circus act.
Right.
Like, that's
we are kind of a circus. We're like,
well, Tommy is.
Yeah.
Oh, Kyle, for
Miles
sure.
Miles Kennedy will stand side stage. I see him laughing because he hears the stage banner, and that's like my thing. I'm kind of like the Rodney Dangerfield of rock.
Right.
And I said to one of his guys, I'm like, is this comedy or music that I do? And he goes, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, isn't that what makes like bands like Steel Panther so brilliant?
Oh, yeah.
And people ask you, it's the banter. It really is. Like, of course it's the songwriting. Of course it's that. But there's some moments in between. Yeah.
I love the stage banner. And these guys some nights will just bust out laughing in their mics because I'll just send it.
Yeah. It's you know what? Speaking of that, man, you want to do a song?
I'd love to.
What are you thinking? What do you think?
Should we do Savage?
Absolutely, man. It's the new single.
After that game yesterday?
But Chuck.
God. I bet on you guys. I was right there with you. I've never bet on a sports game in my life, and I bet on the Chiefs.
Well, we found out we have this in common. Neither of us are sports guys. Neither Tim nor me, because I get my ass smoked in here all the time, because my girlfriend explains football to me.
Right.
Like, I love motorcycles and guns.
Yeah.
And everything else.
Like, wood, snowmobiles.
Yeah, for real. Like, all of it.
What's your favorite sport? Bar fighting at Teasers?
but you dude, I mean, I own it. Four flamethrowers. Like,
wow.
For real. Yeah.
You have four?
Yeah.
You can break one off for your old buddy, can't you?
Hell yes, man.
We need that tonight. We'll do our own, or tomorrow night, we'll do our own pyrotechnics.
Don't make me. You can leave with one. I'm showing the truck. But that's it, man. I'm not a big sports guy. And so yesterday was terrible for me. Like, I was watching it thinking, oh, I'm going to go to these parties, and I'm watching everybody around, and I'm like, this is not fun at all. This is terrible. Did you get to see the game?
Todd took my money. He's the one that bet on the Eagles. Loser. Beat him up tomorrow, Lawrence.
Thanks, man. Yeah, you know how bad it was, right? Like, you had to feel bad taking the money. If it was close, it feels bad. But that was like, stop raping the dead body.
Jesus.
Mom. You just like, how much longer are they going to do that to the corpse? Like, we're just laying there, dude. And they're just Guys just running by, kicking it in the head, cocky. Like, it was a bad day for us.
And you're getting canceled.
All right, yeah, you know, well, listen, the day in America you can't say, don't rape dead corpse. Like, if you can't say that, then we're all done here anyway, aren't we? How much fun is it to go out and do this and see the reaction of people? Something a little more visceral, something a little more, like, direct, right?
Oh, my mom is pissed.
Yeah? Yeah. Like the Book of Revelations, that's... Did you go through all that where you were sure that as a kid that it was all going to happen, by
the
way?
Oh, my God. They talked about the apocalypse 24/7.
Nonstop.
It was terrifying. And then all these Nostradamus books around for me to read. And I'm like, Jesus. I was like, again, I raised my hand like, hey, I'm seven.
did they really mix Nostradamus and the Bible?
Yeah. Oh. They had like this weird picture book of like demons crawling out of the ground. Like everything was the government's going to kill you. Satan's going to eat your insides.
Sure, of course, man.
Yeah, I'm like, God. So I like try to raise my kids a little differently.
Yeah, yeah, a little less scary.
They're coming to kill you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No matter what you do, it's going to be painful, kids. That's just the way it is. Like, it's because I was an altar boy. I grew up Catholic.
Oh, nice. Same.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That'll fix you.
I got kicked out of Catholic school in sixth grade.
Right, dude, I left. I told the only time I ever told my dad I wouldn't do something. Fifth grade, I go, I'm not going back.
Yeah,
I'm not going back, man. And it wasn't because the obvious, like you got molested or something like that. We go, begin. It was the 70s. I was an altar boy, right? By the way, I was a cute kid. I don't know. But the nuns were the meanest things in the world. These were old school
penguins. You know how you get a nun laid? Dress her like an altar boy.
Todd, that is disgusting.
Todd, you're a bad person for saying that.
Todd's got some PTSD right now.
But. Yeah. But I mean, I would regularly get my ass kicked by nuns.
Yeah,
like
same.
For real. Yeah.
I had some old school Sister Betty, Sister Peggy, and then they changed principals in like fifth grade, and I was the low budget kid, so my mom didn't pay a lot of money because we were poor enough to qualify, and they're like, you're not going to go to school here free and also be a terrorist in the school.
Right, right. Did you have the special lunch card that looked different than everybody else's lunch card?
Yeah, and then fifth grade, I had to go to lunch with the principal every day, who was a sister.
Well, you were exceptional.
I was not allowed to be in general public because I would raise hell. And at that time, I changed my name to Hawk because I watched the movie Over the Top, and I wore a Sturgis biker jacket said Hawk on the back and a Harley leather hat. And I would just, like, try to fight in the lunchroom all the time. I was like, my name's Hawk. Dude, true story.
Just trying to figure it out.
And I was like, I wanted to be a truck driver and, like, lift weights in the truck. And so later in life, I got my CDL, son. Mess with me now.
Yeah. By the way, great movie to this day.
Great movie.
Great movie.
I haven't seen it in years. But the fact that I changed my name to that, and I just made everybody, even the nuns, I'm like, you'll call me Hawk. If you want to live, Sister Peggy, you'll call me Hawk.
Dude, in my head, they're always Sister Mary Adolph. That's what I've changed all their names to. But I remember thinking, because we were kids, and it was an old limestone building in Hays, Kansas, so they're German Catholic nuns, and it's a little bitty town, and they're mean as can be. Two things. Like, there is nothing worse than getting your ass kicked because, do you remember the desk that you couldn't get you had to put your stuff inside it, and then the top went down?
Yeah.
It was like a hollow space, like a bucket underneath. Yeah. I had decided, and I loved reading, mostly because you don't have a lot of friends, right? So you read everything.
Right.
I got out of those Little House in the Prairie books. So I had Little House in the Big Woods, Little House in the Prairie, all these things, and I couldn't get the top shut. And this nun comes over and just starts crushing me. Like, I just remember vividly, like, this is the worst thing ever. I'm getting my ass kicked for Little House on the Prairie books. That
nuns
happens.
Are ruthless.
Oh, dude. We were in those you could go in and get toilet paper, we realized. And did you have that big hand-washing station that was a giant circle? You stepped on a little bar on the bottom,
yeah.
And the water would come out.
Yeah.
So we'd rinse it in that, and then there was a window that opened up to the cars outside. And we're launching them out there, of course, these giant spit wads, basically. But we thought, because this is where your penis comes out, nuns can't come in this room. That is not true
Wrong.
At all. That is, dude, she came in, kicked that door down, got us in a headlock, took us down to the Mother Superior, who proceeded to beat our asses into the ground, man.
That's great.
So yeah, now there was a similar upbringing here.
Yeah.
And it will leave a mark on you. It'll leave a mark on, in a ways, like authority on the way you look at this life, the way you feel about this world, the way you talk to your kids, the way you see the end or what you're supposed to be in this world.
Right.
And it will drive songwriting, man. It'll drive every single thing you do, man, because those are formative years, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I hurt myself a lot at school, which was another one. They're like, don't run up the slide. I run up the slide, fall off, break my arm in two spots. And they were like, Jesus!
Right.
Then I remember the huge merry-go-round that had the metal bars in between.
Sure.
My buddy's got it going as fast as it would go to where you could not even see the bars. And I said, I'm going to jump through that gap and land in the middle. I made it about 3 inches and split my head open from like side to side, wake up the nuns over the top of me. And I'm like, why are they all out here? And I look at my hands and I'm like, oh, it's just blood. And I had to go to the hospital. They were so tired of the injuries. But the fact that I thought I could shoot that gap and made it that far.
Sure. But so you knew, though, you wanted that attention early.
Oh, yeah. I mean, always knew. The class clown.
Right?
Yeah.
We always called it a terrible case of the look at me's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
And whether it was getting in trouble, whether it was or finding music.
Yep.
Like, but that's what it takes, right? Like, that drives you.
Yeah.
And whatever it is.
Always about the entertainment at any cost.
Yeah. And then any fuel you have about right. how you feel about yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like, that'll push you.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, if someone calls you trash or makes you feel less than as a kid, man, if you let it, if you use it the right way, it can take you there.
Oh, yeah. I used to hear a lot, what do you want to be when you grow up, a rock star loser?
Yeah, right?
I still hear that in my head occasionally. I'm like, yep.
Now, clearly, as an adult, you can make friends. But yeah. What was it like when you were a kid, when you were younger? Were you the weird kid?
Yeah, I was, because I just wasn't allowed to hang out with the kid. Yeah. There was no extracurricular. I had to go home and work. You know, and I wasn't really allowed to have friends over too often, so I was kind of the outsider kid.
Yeah, well, you don't even know, right? Well, you're right. The kid who goes, call me Hawk.
Right, and, exactly.
And again, it's a funny story now, but when you're a kid, like, that's the kind of thing that gets you pushed right out of the circle when you're a kid.
Right, right.
You know, other kids don't go, that is awesome.
Yeah, and then like, in high school, yeah. Because I was a rural kid, I had to ride the short bus.
Oh, dude.
I'm sure that's why. Yeah, because you being a rural kid.
Now, they had this Elk Park bus for all the ranch kids, and there were about four of us that rode it. And I was the dude wearing Carhartts, cowboy boots, and a Nirvana shirt. So people were like, look at that guy coming off the short bus. So I could not keep my mouth shut. And I remember I mouthed off to the Hicks one day. And I was like this weird hick rock kid, but I didn't hang out with the cliques. I was friends with everybody from the stoners to the skaters to the rodeo kids. And they met me at that bus stop and just proceeded to beat my ass one day. And all the other Elk Park kids just abandoned me as I'm on the ground, covered my head. They took the boots to me. And I remember the bus driver was furious because she's like, I've been driving this route for 35 years and never have I had someone get beat up so many times that we have to move the bus stop because every day there's another group of kids lined up to take a chance whipping Timmy's ass.
And you're like, keep going. You got to keep going. Give me two more blocks.
I took it till I was 17. And then at 17, I was like, it doesn't really hurt getting beat up that much. I'm going to try and fight back. And then it was like that water boy thing where it was my stepdad's head that would pop out of these kids that would beat me up. And then I started blacking out and crying. And then it was like people stopped fighting me then. So like, that guy's got issues.
Right? But man, there is a turning point in anybody's moment when you're suddenly no longer afraid of it.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, it's not that bad. Yeah. I've had enough.
Oh, yeah.
And but that again, that fuel, man, that's songwriting fuel. That's life fuel. That's I'm not going to give up no matter how long it takes. If the album comes out and it does well, I only see the forward motion.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this the other day, like adult life, touring, all these things is so much easier than my childhood. So much easier.
Yeah.
Right. It's like so, you know, it's just drive. Keep going. You know,
there is no end. And that's the thing is the monster has to eat.
Yeah.
Like you're going to have to keep feeding it. Another song, another tour, another album, another night. Like
another sex tape.
That's right. That's what you need to do.
The other one was only 3 seconds long. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I feel Tom's probably the most likely to do that. Tommy's.
Let's crank it up.
It's us three in the tape.
We got to chill out with these sex tapes, dude. My butthole can't handle it anymore. I haven't walked straight in weeks.
Dude, you have to give it a day off. You know what I mean?
Tell him that.
It's like shows. You can't sing every night. So you know, what about these tours? Like, you know, you're going out. You're out with Miles Kennedy now, but you've toured with everybody. Like you and Billy. Like, you guys are writing songs together. I mean, years ago, what was the first song? It was the Beard song.
This Beard came here to party.
And what? It became like a college anthem.
Boston Red Sox.
Oh, that's right.
Became
Boston
their
Red
theme
Sox.
Song.
Sports,
and again, I don't watch sports. And I ended up doing the anthem for the Red Sox at Fenway Park. It was on the cover of USA Today. It was on the official Blu-ray. That was the first time I met Billy. It was like September 9th, 2013. We wrote and recorded the song. I thought I'd never see him again, but I was still grateful. I'm like, I got to work with my hero. I thought that
was
it for us.
Man.
He walks out of the room. I'm like, that was amazing. And he goes to a restaurant. Some guy is looking for the theme song and goes up and starts talking to him and says, hey, man, blah, 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 huge ZZ Top fan. And Billy goes, what do you do? And he goes, well, I pair sports teams with music is my thing. I find them theme songs. And he goes, funny story, I happened to be looking for a beard song for the Red Sox, and Billy had the CD in his jacket mix the same day we recorded it, hands it to him. 72 hours later, I'm watching my first Major League Baseball game, and they're playing my song, and I'm like, this is bizarro. And then they win the World Series, and they put me and Billy on the cover of USA Today with the Red Sox, and it said, like, these beards came here to boogie, these beards came here to win. And all of a sudden, it's nationwide. And that's another one of those, pop the balloon up in a big way, and then Billy takes me under his wing, and I've opened for ZZ, I think, over 75 times now. And across North America, and we started our hot sauce company, Whisker Bomb, which we actually make our barbecue sauce here in Kansas City.
Excellent. Excellent.
A lot of Kansas City connections. And then we bought the Wise River Club in Montana, so we're business partners. And he's kind of filled that dad void in my life of, like, you know, he's that guy. Like,
right. Because does Billy have kids at all?
No,
I didn't think so, man. No. So he's – yeah, I could see where he would take you under his wing and see himself and you. And,
100%. And everywhere I go, people assume that – they're like, hey, can we get a picture with your dad? They're always asked. They assume. Or the one that insults me is they're like, dude, I love your guys' band. I'm like, oh, really?
I'm not.
Do I look old enough to be in ZZ Top?
Does it ever normalize? I mean, do you ever get to the place with Billy that you're like, oh, it's just Billy? Or have you always got that other one you go, hey, man, that's...
Yeah, I have to, like, we're so comfortable with each other that, you know, he is one of my best friends, but occasionally you got to remind yourself that your best friend is a, you know, I say I'm walking among giants, you know.
Right. No, it's rare air.
And his birthday party just happened. He turned 75, and this dude gets around better than most 25-year-olds. He never stops touring. He never quits. And I've talked to him about that. He's like, man, B.B. King stayed on the road till he was, you know, I think he was close to 90 or in his 90s.
Yep.
And Billy has that thing when ZZ Top takes a break. He starts a solo band, so he's out right now with my buddy Mike Flanagan and Whipper, the guy, drummer from Stevie Ray Vaughan, Double Trouble. Okay. So they have a little three-piece, and they're going across the country. But I just played his birthday party at the Troubadour with Slash, Jerry Cantrell.
Oh, I know. Chuck was there. Chuck was telling us. Chuck from Loudwire.
So cool.
Chuck Armstrong. Chuck's like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to both nights in Los Angeles. I was like, okay. All right, Chuck. Chuck's
but
in the corner,
the funniest
by the way.
Thing that Billy did to me is... he loves it when I cover Tupac, California Love, because he loves rap and he loves anything out there, right? So he's like, Tim, I want you to do that rap stuff on my birthday.
That's a
and
left
I'm
turn.
Like, I'm like, okay. But he didn't tell Slash any of the guest people. So I'm sitting there, like, I bust out rapping. I'm elbow 6 inches away from Slash's elbow, and I just bust into California Love, and Billy didn't bother to tell him. Because he's just like, oh, they'll follow. And he's just, same key as LaGrange. And I just, like, look over and Slash is laughing and, like, mouths the words to the drummer, what the F? And I'm thinking to myself, Slash is probably like, is it normal to fly white guys in from remote Montana to cover Tupac?
No, it's absolutely not. Like, you know, when you... But you can see exactly why Billy loves this.
Oh, yeah.
Like this? Like, that's ZZ Top right there.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, Billy is and I've done a lot of reading on Billy over the years, and his quirky, overly eccentric love of everything, super rhythmic and soul, and where he came from. And it's always, like, to me, I think he's one of the most underexposed guys in a sense, like, I wish more people knew his story, like who he really is. Not
it's
just
fascinating.
Just really as a human being, who he is. I just think he's incredible. I think his brain is unlike any others.
Yeah, and I met his sister, and I was so excited to meet his sister Pam.
Is she normal, or she? And I say that, you know what I mean? Or she like Billy, like super quirky?
She's got. I figured out what mannerisms Billy has genetically versus what he's learned from touring, and some of the hand stuff that she does. She looks just like her brother. And I was, like, more excited. Billy's like, why are you so interested in Pam? I'm like, I want to know about your childhood. I want to know the stories you don't tell me.
Yeah.
And she was funny. She's like, Billy's not really a guitar player. She's like, at, like, age 4, his dad would buy him model cars. And he'd take a razor blade and drop the tops and do all this pinstriping. And dad would go in the room and be like, oh, my God. Because she's like, it was perfect. Like, he didn't measure anything, but it was, like, beautiful what he did with hot rod cars. And at that time, no one was doing that. And his dad saw this fascination with cars, and he's like, Billy, if you want to be able to afford cars someday, you're going to need to figure out how to pay for that. Why don't you get into music? And she's like, he's really just a hot rodder. This year.
Man, it all makes sense. He's a creator, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, so,
and his drawings.
Creator.
And I mean, I'm wearing a shirt right now. He drew this picture. of the Wise River Club on a bar napkin at the Jeff Beck Memorial in London and showed it to Eric Clapton. He's like, man, this guy Tim bought this bar in Wise River. And so I was like, I'm putting that on a shirt.
Absolutely, man. You, by the way, do you have the original?
I just have a – he emailed it to me. So he has the original. But yeah, he draws all this crazy freehand stuff, shoots it, and then sends it to me. When I was first touring with him, he was drinking back then. It was so funny. We're sitting at a bar in Tacoma, Washington, and he gets a bar napkin, and he's like glaring at me, growling. And I'm like, what is he so freaking mad about? And I'm still scared of him at that point. And he draws a picture of a teepee, and he puts loud on it and slaps it in front of me and goes, your teepee's too loud, and goes to bed.
And then I'm, if it were me, that's all I could think about, like trying to decipher it 37 different ways.
Right. Like, what does it mean?
It's like banging around inside my head.
Like, my teepee's loud?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, Billy Gibbons.
Dude, we got to turn this teepee down, boys.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Let me take a break. We'll come back. We want to do another song before you leave?
Sure.
All right. Listen, Tim Montana's in the studio tomorrow night. The show is up at Liberty Hall, but he's in Kansas City. Hell, you found out you had relatives here.
Yeah, yeah. My niece, she's got a salon called Wicked, so I'm actually going to go get my beard trimmed.
Nice.
And I didn't meet her till a couple years ago.
Where is it at? I'm just trying to...
It's like in the Butchertown District. Is that a thing?
I don't know. Wicked.
Butcher District.
Salon.
It's in a really cool, historic...
Kansas City, over off 13th Street. In the West Bottoms.
Is that what it's called?
Is that what she's...
Oh,
I just made up Butchertown because I'm Billy. Yeah. It's in the Loud Teepee District.
I love this area of town. It's a fantastic area, man. It's the West Bottoms. It used to be the legendary where all the cattle would ship out.
Okay, like, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. So
did they butcher the cattle?
They did.
There?
That's exactly
the cattle.
Right. That's you were this close, man.
See, it's like Murder Town, Murder Cattle Town.
And poor Tommy, he's just like, Jesus Christ, what did I do in this life?
He's Canadian, so he's like, sorry.
Where are you from? Where are you from? In
British
Canada?
Columbia.
Yeah, that nice, beautiful area, man.
You know that he won the Fur Trapper of the Year award when he was 16 for skinning an ermine?
Shut up.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's like I tell that story on stage every time. I was like, what?
That was
like
Gelade.
That's like a fancy weasel. By the way, we really, a trapper, you really did?
Yeah, yeah. I won Top Lot Trapper. It's true. When
that's
I was
so great.
At the North 16. American
that's
Fur
so
auction.
Great.
We've seen him skin beaver and ermine.
Hallelujah, son. I get it. So was that the high point of your life, though? At that point, you're like, Jesus Christ, it's never going to get better than this.
Man, I didn't know it was going to happen, and I have the camo hat, and I showed Tim, and he was like, what?
Dude, but these are where great songs come from. This is how it happens, man. And what about you, Kyle? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Statesboro, Georgia.
Okay, so then, yeah. So you got a whole different angle now. That's,
tell him your that's fun it. Fact about shooting black powder rifles.
So I started shooting black powder rifles with my dad when I was a teenager, and I used to do a lot of competitions, and
okay.
I was like 13 or 14, I was ranked number 9th in the country.
Dude, and black powder is again, for shooters out there, because I like shooting, it's really unforgiving, you know?
Yeah, super unforgiving, yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to do. Now, you were down at Statesboro, mm-hmm. Did you ever do those, Civil War reenactments?
Depends on which side.
Dude, but it's true. Like, because I was down visiting our mutual friend Jesse one time in Kennesaw, and he goes, man, come on, get in the car. And so we go over there and go to Kennesaw Mountain where they're having a giant civil war, and he's running me through this. I go, Jesse, you know, I grew up in the North, right? Like, he's walking me through this whole thing. I go, this is what you guys do for fun. And these guys would be there for a week straight, as legit as you
take
can.
Take it very serious.
Oh, for real. And, oh, yeah. and it, of course, it was great in their own way, like historically, the way they portrayed it, like everything. It's not easy, right? It's history. But yeah, it's the South, for those who don't know, because I was born in Memphis. So,
oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
And are you kidding me? I got an Uncle Butch and Aunt Barbara who had three kids, Barry, Brandy, and BJ.
Wow.
That's true. No, it's real South, like Memphis, Tennessee, Blyville, Arkansas, redneckery. Like,
love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Redneckery.
Oh, like dude, I'd go out and visit him. And I remember sitting on his lap watching wrestling in the South. And so you would either, it was, God, what does he say? There's three kings. It would be Jesus Christ, Martin Luther, and Jerry Lawler. And those were the three kings in the South.
That's beautiful.
And by the way, he wasn't kidding. And he drank Blue Ribbon, Babs Blue Ribbon, in the morning with salt on the rim in his underwear.
Wow.
Like that's
a man.
So
that's true.
I've never been to Statesboro, but I know the South.
I love that.
So how'd you end up with this one? Nashville?
Eating a sandwich on stage.
Grindr.
That's right.
Grindr, Pornhub.
His first tour he did with us, we went to Alaska. And it was wheels off back when I used to party real hard.
And you went up to Fairbanks. Is that what you were telling
us? I think that might have been the same one before. Yeah. We go to Alaska. We're going up again this year to play.
A-hole Bob and I rode to Fairbanks from Kansas City.
Jesus, that's a haul. Back. It's like a 32-day trip in the truck from here, bud.
You want to talk about crazy-ass drunk Eskimos at a strip club? Jesus Christ.
Did you go to the Bush in Anchorage?
We hit Anchorage, then we hit whatever the big strip club was in Fairbanks.
And the one in Anchorage is called the Bush Club.
Very nice. Very nice.
I don't know how I know that. My buddy told me.
Dude, we know a lot of the same strip clubs. That's Tim. That's, you know what? That's a nice way to connect with somebody. But is this going to be the configuration? Will this be the band? I mean,
we're missing our Frenchman. We got a bass player.
Yep.
Yeah. So he'll be at the show in Lawrence.
And how long have you guys been all together?
God, Jackson's the newest. So he's been in, what, 2 years?
Just short of 2 years.
How long have you been in, Tom?
Since May 2018.
Wow.
So, and by the way, you don't look old enough to have been here since that age. Like, honestly, because
gets all the hot chicks coming up to meet him afterwards. I have this weird curse, and I've had it since I was a teenager, where old ladies think I'm hot, and it won't stop. And the hottest chicks will come up. And I'm married, right? But I like to know that, you know, chicks are into me. Yeah, who doesn't,
good
right?
Good for ego, sure.
So these, like, hot chicks will come up and be like, my mom thinks you're so hot. Oh. And I'm like, yeah, it's just followed me around, you know? So I'm just like, you know, my wife's 6 years older than me. The older the pan, the better the cooking. You just got to celebrate. I will be a hit at the old folks' home.
That's right. Gilf bait.
Yeah.
Like, gilf. Yeah. You're gilf bait, my friend.
But Tommy, all the hot girls come up and they're like, my mom thinks you're hot. What's up with your guitar player?
Right? There's nothing in this world worse than when the cute girl walks up and you think it's her that's going to be interested, and she's like, have you met my mom? And
yeah, like, her grandma in the wheelchair. She points down, and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so where'd you meet your girl? Like, because you have a family. You have an entire family. I met her
at Tootsie's Orchid Lounge, I think, in 2007.
So you know she's all right.
Yeah. Like, she came in to hit on me, and it was wild because I was a bar back there. And it's the busiest honk.
You were a bar back at Tootsie's.
Yeah.
And
a bouncer.
That's the last reel. Like, right. There's nothing left there. In my opinion, like, that's the last, you know?
Yeah. So, bar back, bouncer, and then I worked my way into performing Thursday nights. And girls would come in all the time because I'd wear a cowboy hat and Wranglers and do the whole cowboy thing, and they'd hit on you, but I have to stay in the bar and clean till 4, and they'd always leave with the other dudes. And I was like, So, this gal came in and hit on me 2 days in a row. And the first time I shut her down because I was like, I wouldn't waste time with hot chicks hitting on me. So I was like, you know, I know what's going to happen. You're going to go home with that guy, and I'm going to be here swamping up your vomit till 4 in the morning. Just going to bed.
Yeah, that's Tootsie's.
And so she came back the next night, and then, I remember calling her and be like, can I come to your hotel? She's like, it's 4 in the morning. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But then I met her in California. She lived out there. We ended up having a great time there. And I put a ring on her and a baby in it real fast.
In fact, lock it. You got to lock it.
Yeah, I'm so insecure. I was like, this chick's way too hot. I have to knock her up immediately. So then after kid number 4, I'm like, I think she'll stick around.
That's right. You got informed. Look, I stole all your good years. You might as well stay.
That's right.
You were a bouncer at Tootsie's.
Yeah, I can tell you some bar fighting stories. But you can't get away with it anymore, but I tell these guys stories like street brawls, and it was the Wild West in 07, 08.
And because it's such a girl, bachelorette heavy girl drinking place.
It wasn't then. Now it is.
Because that would be, as a bouncer, like, that's who I don't want to fight.
Right.
Like, they're awful. Like, girls, drunk girls are terrible.
Yeah, Kyle beat up some drunk gal the other night. It was just.
I'm kidding. You know what?
She did.
Wow. Nobody ever asked what they did. Nobody.
I was just showing her my Southern heritage, bud. All right.
That is Statesboro.
Sorry. You know what? Your new name's just Georgia. That's it.
Georgia.
Just Georgia. What song do you want to do next, man? What do you want to play?
I was thinking of doing Devil You Know for you guys. I don't know.
Yeah, please.
That's where
man.
It all started. My friend Chuck sent this to A-hole Bob, is it?
Listen.
I can't call him that. He's been very supportive of it.
Oh, no. He very much embraces his A-hole. Like, I mean, you know, listen, he's an asshole. It always has been.
I looked at Kyle when he said embraces the a-hole. He perked up.
Tim embraces my a-hole daily.
Very I just love how open you fellas are, man.
It's open, all right. It's definitely open.
So, Chuck, come over here, Chuck. Stop being so shy. So, Chuck and I, we've all known each other. Chuck, what year were you here originally at The Rock?
08, 09, 10.
So, we've been friends that long.
Yeah. Wow.
And so when Chuck ended up at Loudwire and Town Square Media, and so when he gets, you know, really excited about an artist and really comes in, because one thing we share deeply is our love of music, like real songwriting. Like, we'll nerd out, like, it's a wonder I ever get laid and you had kids. Because the music nerdery, like, is so bad. It's like girl repellent. Like, it's terrible. But he got so excited that we started busting his balls about you, Tim. We're like, so what's going on with Tim? And he'd be like, let me tell you about Tim. And he really... Really, absolutely, man. Champions you guys, like, more than you'll ever know. Like, for real.
I love me some Chuck, baby.
Yeah, man. I remember the first time I heard the song you're going to play. I think halfway through, I stopped it. I was talking to your label, and I was like, I'm in. Yeah. I finished the song, and I still liked it, but...
But did you finish?
Were you in?
Listen, the fact that he got A-hole Bob to add a new song, Jesus Christ, you don't understand. That's like the apocalypse, man.
Yeah, I don't share a whole lot of music with Bob.
Yeah,
no. But I grew up listening to 98.9, and when I heard this song, I was like, man, that is perfect for the rock.
Yeah, no, we call that the A-hole Bob neck F, when you'll bring him a new song, be like, Bob, you ought to listen to this. And you go, and he'll start to bob his head up and down. You're like, stop.
He's still working
me.
Thunderstruck.
Yeah, totally. Totally, man. 100. But Chuck, and it's such a huge fan, man. So we got excited about it, man. And then I think as you guys got to know each other, just who you are as a person, man, just your story, everywhere you come, you know, where you come from.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's the last reel. I'm so tired of preconceived and constructed ideas and we're supposed to look this way, or we have to act this way, or we got to tell them this kind of a story. You're just, you know, unabashedly you. That's your story. Listen, it is, it's not shiny. It's not easy. It's not, you know, exceptionally cool even. It's just human and real and hard. And that's
a human connection.
Yeah, love you. Yes. Love you. Love you.
Baby.
Aww. Dude, oh my God. I'm holding this guy's hand right now.
Baby. Honey.
Little gaper.
Aww.
He's a wide open book. He's really is.
Wide open spaces.
But this, poor Chuck, you worked so hard to bring this home.
No, I love this. No. This is a new side of Tim that I kind of changing things for me now.
Right?
Well, he's out.
Oh no! Now
I wasn't.
Now he feels really good about his feelings. Like, now he's like, I knew it. My intuition was real.
It just took a couple years, man. Yeah.
So, but where did this song come from, man? The devil you know.
Man, I actually wrote that with Eric Dillon, who's a mutual friend of Chuck as well.
Okay. Not a mutual friend, I got to say. He grew up in a small town, northeast Kansas, of 150 people. So when I first talked to Tim and he said, oh, I wrote the song with a guy in Nashville, Eric Dillon. I was like, oh, I know that name. His real last name's Anderson. And the Armstrongs and the Andersons have lived in Muscoda since late 1800s. And so my family, his family grew up together, my dad, his dad. So when he said that, I was like, oh, well, that's a... Random. Fun little connection. Yeah.
But it is all real. Like, he ended up out there, and because you grew up, people don't know Muscoda. That's how many people in that town?
150.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's three times the size of Wise River.
I was going to say, when I heard Tim was off the grid, I was like, oh, I grew up off the grid too. Mm-hmm. I didn't. Yeah. Not like Tim. Yeah.
But so you guys in the Wise River, you've been up to the bar.
I have, yes. It's awesome.
And there is some talk, and this is all very premature, there may be some new music coming out, some cool stuff to do. Maybe there's something we could do for the bar and do a promotion.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. That would be fantastic. But the song, The Devil You Know, you wrote with this young guy from Nashville, originally from Muscoda. And tell me more.
Yeah, so we wrote that, and that was right in the time frame where I was moving back to Montana, because I was like, I don't think they're ever going to play me on the radio. And so I kind of was like over this country rock thing and, you know, was kind of turning this song in as a middle finger and a see you later. And I had already started closing on the bar up there and left Nashville and turned in Devil You Know. And I got a call from my label thinking I was getting dropped. And they're like, this is a hit song. We're going to take this to radio. And I'm like, what? And I was like, and it was the same day, you know, whether that's some weird divine intervention going back to Catholic school, it's the same day. It was August of 23 was like the ad date. And I forget the exact date, but it was the same day I got the liquor license and was our radio ad date.
Wow.
And so now
it was
a
Tuesday then.
Yeah. So I'm in Wise River, Montana going, why plan A and plan B the same day? So now I'm like, this is complicated. I live in a town of 44 people. I run and operate a bar and now stuff is blowing up, you know.
And the balloon goes up again.
Yeah, the balloon goes up again. And it's wild because I told people, I'm like, I kind of made a deal with the old man upstairs when I was like 19 of, if stuff doesn't work out by the time I'm 40, maybe I'll do something else. And he's got a sense of humor because at 39 and a half, it worked out.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.